You're listening to PorchDrinking.com's The Porchcast, brought to you by First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, located in the heart of Denver's Rhino Art District at 1309 26th Street, featuring a pour-your-own draft system with over 40 incredible beers to sample from. Also, Made by Chalk, who can help with all of your brewery branding, logo design, and website needs. And now, The Porchcast.
All right, everyone, and welcome to episode 56 of The Porchcast. We are broadcasting at Novel Strand Brewing today, joined by Tamir Dannon and Chantel Kalumna. Is that correct? Kalumna, sorry. We are excited to be back in the broadcast booth, a.k.a. the brewery that we're at, and located at 305 West 1st Street, West 1st Avenue, sorry, here in Denver, Colorado. Once again, that's Novel Strand Brewing, one of Denver's newest and actually most impressive new breweries here on the on the new scene here in 2018. Once again,
Nice.
Absolutely. Cool. And once again, joined by Sammy Hartman and Sam Lael here.
Hello.
What's up, co-hosts? How you all been?
Gobble, gobble. I'm totally fine.
It's gobble, gobble season. That's right. Thanksgiving. We are, it's the first time we've broadcast since the Shelton Brothers preview last month. It's been far too long.
It has been. Can you believe it? What, like 4 weeks? What? 3 weeks? I don't know.
Sammy is in a haze.
Yeah, I'm in a haze. The Cerebral 3-year anniversary just occurred, and I feel like I'm still feeling the effects. It was a wild one.
Which I actually have to bring up, coincidentally enough, it's about the 1 year since our...
Yeah, I know.
Since this we last our, broadcast...
This is our
first broadcast with you,
really. Podcast-iversary.
Podcast-iversary. The first time we actually had Sammy on the show was previewing Cerebral's anniversary last year, and we loved having her on so much that we decided to welcome her back as a consistent co-host of the show. So, Sammy... Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
It's a special time. You survived the first year.
Yeah, one time around the sun. It's been incredible. I wouldn't trade anything for the world.
Now, we're going to get to our usual host of topics. We want to talk about all the crazy stuff that's been happening in beer. We'll most likely not get to all of it, but we definitely want to touch on FOBAB, which was the Festival of Barrel-Aged Beers that just took place this past weekend. Sierra Nevada dealing with the crazy wildfires that are happening out in California right now. We'll also maybe touch on Thanksgiving stuff. But let's jump right into it for the main reason that we're here, talking to Tamir and Chantel from Novel Strand. How's it going, you guys? Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having us. You can speak too. We're good, man. We're still alive. We're hanging out. Making beer, learning what it's like to be part of the Denver beer scene. It's a crazy scene. But we're crazy people, so I think we'll be all right.
All right, yeah. And now, Tamir, I first talked to you a couple months ago, right before you guys opened. How's it been in the past few months that since you all started operations?
Well, since we've last spoke, what have we done? We've had some can releases. I burned my back. We've made some beer. My back healed.
So just normal beer stuff.
Yeah, brewery life, man. The dream.
Absolutely. Now, when we first talked in that article that debuted on Porch Drinking, there was a little bit of controversy, so to speak, and you made it a point. You wanted for this next interview for us to actually have Chantel here so that she could be your anger translator. Am I correct?
Yes. I feel like sometimes I can be very short and stubborn. And so I like to have my better half with me to sort of soothe over some of my more sharp opinions, so to say.
Short and stubborn is kind of like an understatement. Let's just put it out there.
Yeah.
I'm just here to sweeten things up.
All right.
You see the support is massive.
Well, we appreciate having you both. And you all do have a third co-founder, correct?
We think, yes.
Yeah, Miss Ayana Coker. She's out in Baltimore. She's been out here a couple of times. She comes out for the bigger events. Mm-hmm. Hopefully she'll be out here again in December. Just, kind of keeping a check on things and
totally
being part of it.
Now, I do want to jump right into it. Kind of the first big, and we'll have a segment later where we can fully embrace the anger translator in this relationship. But I want to jump into it. Tell us a little bit more about your all's backstory. For those who maybe didn't have a chance to fully read up on the article, how did you all land here? You all came from New York originally, correct? Well, not originally, but you all were living in New York
at some point. We were all in New York.
Yes.
It was the right time. I mean, Ayana and I were friends. All three of us went to RPI, which is Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York. And Ayana and I were friends. We just liked beer. And I had been drinking beer for a while, and so I just kept taking Ayana to, you know, try different beers in different places, and we just kept getting more and more into it. And then, Chantel and I started going out, and Chantel sort of got, one way or the other, roped into the fold of just drinking some of the finest beers that we could get our hands on. I still, to this day, say the silly story that my favorite text that I ever got from Chantel was when she was at a barbecue with her family, and she was like, "You've officially ruined me because I can't drink any of the beer here." And I was like, "There you go, bonus points." And we just always joked about opening a brewery. You know, I was homebrewing. I had loved beer so much. I was studying biology, and we were living in Queens.
Yep. And still doing a lot of homebrewing back then. He actually started working for a distributing company, so kind of first really step into the beer industry per se. And then at that point, we had already started talking about making the move out to Denver. So yeah. I think at that point, it just kind of makes sense.
It was like a joke we thought would become real at some point. And now, you know, joke's on us. Here we are sitting at the brewery. We moved here with the intention of basically me getting into the industry and then eventually being able to sort of open up the brewery. And Chantel did a lot of the heavy lifting, basically, while I was running around
doing
all
things.
The brewery work, you know. Basically, if she didn't have this job that she had, you and I wouldn't be talking now, or we wouldn't have talked in July because we wouldn't be here.
Totally.
Yeah. So, myself and Ayana both work in construction management, so like we both have pretty good background in general for management in general, and then we were kind of able to support each other in this process just to kind of get things going.
Off the ground,
started.
Yeah. And then, you know, we got to Colorado. You know, I started working at a brewery, started meeting a lot of people here in the scene. You know, I met Sean, you know, from Cerebral early on. I met the guys at OMF. Now we're really close with the Bierstadt people. So it was really cool to sort of get here and start to be able to talk to anyone. You know, we did a collaboration with Mockery, which was awesome. A lot of people started talking with us before we were anything. And I guess for whatever reason, people took all my shit talking seriously when I said that I was going to open a brewery, whether they were mistaken or not. And here we are. So we sort of, you know, joked about it and then eventually just got serious and we're like, it's time to see if we can do this for real.
No.
So we say as a joke that now all the beer sucks and the brewer's an asshole, but only the second part's true.
Now, I do want to bring this up. You know, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. I do think you all are one of the best new breweries in Denver, and I don't mean that lightly. It wasn't in passing at all.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your approach towards beer. I know your focus was kind of more on sours and also hoppy beers.
Yeah.
Why that decision? Tell us a little bit about your philosophy in the beer itself.
So, I mean, when we would go to the Ruck, Chantel and I and Ayana, it wasn't only about just like, let's try every random beer that looked crazy. It was a lot of, you know, hey, we keep noticing we're ordering this beer over and over. What do we like about this beer, right? Why is it drinkable for us?
Yeah, I think one of my biggest introductions to beers was in general like Belgian beers. That's how I got started, at least into it.
Mm-hmm.
Then kind of jumped into the hoppy stuff and then into the sour stuff, kind of just growing my palate as we go along the way.
And, you know, so like she's saying, you talk about Belgians or you talk about the German brewing tradition, and a lot of the beers are just really drinkable. And so the thing that inspires, I guess, me the most is I want to basically squeeze as much flavor as I can into a beer while still making it really drinkable. And I find that hoppy beers and sour beers have a really sort of thirst-quenching character when they're done in a balanced way. The acidity can do it, or the dryness on a hoppy beer if you're fermenting them dry, you know, can really accentuate certain flavors that are just really fun, really fruity, tropical, sometimes cannabis, you know. on some of the dry hop sours that we're making here, which aren't supposed to show any complexity of my microbial activity. It's more about like, hey, this beer has this acidic base and these really fruity flavors. You know, we actually get stuff that we look at each other and it's like, this doesn't taste like beer. It tastes like fruit juice, mm-hmm. yeah. but not sweet, so you can drink it. And so things like that I really like. And, you know, there are some breweries that masterfully craft these beers that are so loaded with flavor. And there's a time and place, I think, for having, you know, a 5 ounce of a beer or a few sips of a beer and really appreciating how much you can push the medium to. But I guess sort of what calls to me more is, how can I quietly make as much noise as possible? You know what I mean?
Shoot.
Sammy's hype now.
that's sort of what we're going for, getting her amped for a
high school football game. She's like, I'm gonna run through that tunnel for you right now, Tamir.
Who is it? Talib Kweli, I think, has a rap song where he says, "Loud as a whisper, silent as a lion's roar." Yeah. And I think that's sort of a cool way to think about how I look at the beer. Because yeah, I want it to be, you know, sure, loud and flavorful and awesome, but like my goal is, I want you to, if it's 7% still, like what you and I are drinking now, like I still want you to feel that you can drink 10 of it, though you shouldn't. Please drink responsibly. No. Don't drink and drive.
I have to back you up on this. You know, it's funny, like every time I run into you at a beer event, you're always so animated and so pumped. But the biggest thing that is consistent is like, dude, Tristan, you gotta try this beer. The flavor, you can't believe, like, you're always telling me about like what flavor profile that I'm gonna expect, or like, or something that maybe I can decipher from it. And it's, I think that's one of the things that I'm most impressed by, is how, you know, like, surprised I am, and how I didn't think that a certain kind of flavor could come from a certain type of beer, but just from, you know, utilizing different type of hops, like, you're opening these doors and creating these flavor profiles that I haven't maybe noticed before in beer, or didn't know was possible out of beer. But in a lot of these hoppy beers that you've created, you really dial in on, you know, what is the flavor profile that you're aiming for, and what are you trying to impart in terms of the tasting experience flavor wise. And I think that's something that is sometimes overlooked in this industry. We get so hyped around, yeah, like, you know, what is the name, or what is the style, and like, what is that supposed to be? But like, to really dive in deep and like get elementary with it, of saying like, you know, this is the type of flavor that I want to impart and surprise the taster with, I think it's refreshing. It's something that's really exciting. And I've really enjoyed, you know, trying that in the beers that I've been able to taste from you.
Wow. And I think that's partially one of the reasons why we, even on our menu, we have it characterized as like hoppy stuff, sour stuff, like other stuff. Like, not, it's not necessarily calling out a specific style.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason behind that was really not trying to fit into a mold. Hey, it's not a West Coast, it's not an East Coast, it's not a New England, it's not anything in particular. Like, here's just a general profile of what this is meant to be, and, you know, tell me if you perceive it the same way. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily trying to fit into a mold.
You know, we appreciate you say that, you know. You can say all that, and then someone else can say, hey, their beer sucks and is astringent. That's the beautiful thing about beer. But I mean, yeah, so like I said, so when I started drinking beer, I was very young, and it wasn't for me, believe it or not, as like a sort of thing like, yeah, let's drink beer and like get drunk and blah, blah, blah. Like, when I was younger, I had like one or two bad experiences with like drinking too much beer, and that kind of turned me off from drinking that amount. So that sort of just leaves the fact that good beer tastes good. And that's sort of, and people will argue with this, but that's an objective statement. Beer that is delicious, that most, you know, 90% of people that will taste think is delicious, it's because it's actually delicious and it has a lot of these compounds that, you know, evolutionarily affect our palate. And so I really like to focus on the flavor of the beer when I'm describing it, because I feel like that's what we're trying to showcase. So like, you know, we're drinking this beer that we're putting out tomorrow that's all Southern Hemisphere hops that I just picked from the hop arsenal. That's a stupid term. But, you know, we pick them because we say, all right, well, we know kind of what these hops do in unison, and we know what some of them do together. But let's see if we can now take the different dimensions they have and the different qualities that they have and create something different that is very multi-layered. And like, sure, we could do it in a way where we, you know, hop the living crap out of the beer and and go crazy with that. But I really try to find a spot where you can actually taste the stuff. And there's some breweries that do both, and those impress the shit out of me. The ones that can do what all the people are so hyped and trended out about, because I don't necessarily do that stuff, and I fully recognize that. But there's breweries that can, you know, get people to line up in lines, but then also the beer's actually good. It's not just like a hype beer that's like, yeah, cool. Now that you drank this, it's like, why did I stand in line for, other than like the cool pictures on Instagram? But like, when someone does that, I'm jealous. But for me, I just focus on the good flavor. You know, whatever that has to whatever method that has to go by, mm-hmm. whether it's microbially derived, hop derived, malt derived, I try to just take my time and focus on it, because when I think of a beer, I generally have a clear picture of what I want in the end. Because I don't like to just sort of figure out what happens at the end of the road. I want to have an idea of where I'm driving to, you know? So I think maybe that's why you feel the way you feel about it. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I respect, it's so cool to see a real vision and then see now we're sitting here in your spot and it's all come true. And, like, to look at a menu and to understand now, like, where you're coming from and, you know, here are the hobby beers and here are the sour beers, and you want everybody to find, you know, something that they enjoy drinking. I mean, hopefully you've been received well, you know, in the neighborhood and everything. I think that this is, when you've been here long enough, like I have, there are still little pockets that are still thirsty for, you know, like a real neighborhood spot like this. And I think that adding coffee here is fantastic and kind of rounds out everything.
That's a great point, Sammy. I mean, I want to not bury the lead in that sense as well, of saying, like, you know, there are many different brewery kind of models.
For sure. And
what I love most as well about this is that, you know, this is very much neighborhood feel. This is something where, you know, you all created a community space. And I'd love to hear a little bit more. Tell the people a little bit about kind of the both the coffee side and the beer side as well.
People, are you listening?
We're listening.
We sort of look at beer from the historical perspective of it's something that's supposed to bring people together. And Denver has, you know, when the beer scene started, the breweries were forced to sort of go into these industrial areas for rent reasons or for just accessibility reasons. But now that the beer scene's been established here for long enough, those spaces are all taken up, which forces breweries to go into...
And weed.
Yeah. Right. Weed definitely takes up a lot of the warehouse spaces. But, you know, it sort of both forces but also opens up the door to breweries to really go into a neighborhood and sort of become part of it. So, like, I think Hogshead is a beautiful example of that. They're out there on 29th Ave, you know, just past Tennyson. It's like it's not a commercial site at all. You know what I mean? So that's nice. Who's new guys in Park Hill? Long Table.
Yeah.
We went there to check it out with our friend Jan, who brews over at our mutual friend, and it was our dog is now licking Tristan's face if you're listening. And it was a really cool, like, really neighborhoody spot with nothing commercial around it, and even Cerebral, sort of like if you ignore Colfax, the other side is just houses. There's not so many other businesses. It's just houses. Just people live there.
Yeah.
And we looked at the space and said, you know, this is going to be perfect. We're on a pretty busy street corner right in the middle of the neighborhood, and we're the only commercial thing in the neighborhood. But then we were only going to be open a few days a week and only in the afternoon. And so the idea came up, like, well, let's have a coffee shop in there. And why would you have a coffee shop in there? Well, the coffee shop is also a really good center for a community to be able to go to, especially 100%. For daytime hours. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people come to do work here during the daytime hours, and they stay in the afternoon and drink a beer, assuming that the brewery tap room opens in that afternoon. You have parents on their way back from dropping their kids off. There's like three schools in our area. So they come, they get coffee before, they get coffee after. So by having both something that services our neighbors during the day and something that they can relax with and enjoy at night and loosen up a bit with at night, we sort of can give the neighborhood everything it wants. And to keep referencing something Chantel said, it's like the Belgian beer, like the Belgian feel. It's sort of something we were inspired by, of this communal, like, it's for the people. You make it accessible. You don't have to be loud about your decoration and all. Oh, it's a crazy industrial space. It's sort of like, come hang out.
That's awesome.
And we're sitting on couches right now. Like, we're not, you know.
It's very laid back in general. And I think that we've already kind of fostered like a very good culture with the neighbors in general. Like we see a lot of the same faces typically. Like people
Sammy's
just come
brother.
In, like,
hi, Peter.
Typically just coming to like hang out, spend some time, play some board games, whatever it is. And again, it's like, it's super laid back. It's not overly done or anything like that, which I think it's kind of goes hand in hand with like who we are.
Hey, Porchcast listeners, the iconic Brooklyn Brewery has finally made its way to Colorado. Be sure to look for classics like Brooklyn Lager and Brooklyn Chocolate Stout on store shelves now. And follow them on Instagram at Brooklyn Brewery to stay informed on all their latest releases. Once again, Brooklyn Brewery here in Colorado. Founded in 1997 in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Founders Brewing Company makes complex, full-flavored beer that is consistently rated among the best in the world. Founders is thrilled to finally bring their portfolio of world-class beers to the great state of Colorado and looks forward to the many adventures to come. Visit foundersbrewing.com to learn more. Once again, that's Founders Brewing, now in Colorado.
Had you looked at a lot of spaces before you chose
dude.
This one?
We could have been in Rhino. We were trying to be in Cap Hill, but like...
Yeah, Chantel, I'd love to hear a little bit from your perspective since kind of this is your bread and butter in terms of like looking at these physical spaces. Like, tell us a little bit about that process and how you all ended up landing here. Because also, I'd love to hear as well, why Denver versus New York?
I mean, I think cost plays a really big part of it, right? I think like when you look at New York in terms in general, it just seemed kind of inaccessible. Whereas like I understand a lot of people, especially some of more of like people that have been here for longer, think that, you know, Colorado is kind of getting insane as far as prices. And like we understand too, coming from the East Coast, but I think it still seemed accessible. Mm-hmm. And in general, we just love nature. Like we had already one of our puppies. We're like, let's get out of New York. Let's get out of this hustle area, but yet still have like community people. Like his brother lived out here already. We had visited. We really liked it. So I think that was kind of like what's it called? Like life.
The lifestyle basically.
Lifestyle.
We
yeah.
like to be able to be in the city and then, you know, drive a half hour and you're
8,000,
9,000 feet up
like
on some
mountain. Really good combination of both, whereas in New York it will take you like an hour and a half just to get out to something
New York City,
that was like
if you
similar
drive a half hour, you're still in the city.
well, one thing that I am interested about, like, you know, New York is still such a young beer market.
I was gonna say, like with Brooklyn and everything. Yeah. I mean, now that they're like more so, had you already moved
we
to
were
Colorado?
Already here. Yeah. So yep, if yep. what was happening now had happened 4 years ago, again, we wouldn't be talking.
It might have been a little
there.
Bit different.
Or maybe not necessarily there, but closer to that area. So
what do you think that is that cost kind of similar or would it
no,
still
it's
be
more
crazy?
Expensive yeah. than New York for sure.
For sure.
But it's one of the big things for us in Colorado, especially after having visited, so even when we started visiting here in, like, you know, 2012 and stuff like that, there was already, like, beer here. And not just, you know, Odell. Like, that's when, like, or New Belgium. That was, like, when the class of 2012 was
yeah,
coming
sure,
out.
Yeah,
so,
sure,
True was already open yep. the first time we came to visit. I mean, so there was a lot of cool things that we saw as I followed the scene to be, like, you know, if I go to Denver and make this kind of beer, no one's going to look at me like, funny.
Oh yeah.
And sure, we get that when someone comes in and is like, you don't have an amber ale, and it's like, nope, sorry. But like, it's also that someone comes in and is like, so I heard you have these dry hop sours. Whereas that not necessarily would have happened, you know, in Brooklyn when we were living there. When we were living there, we loved going to Other Half. We loved going to Threes Brewing. We would go to Single right. Cut. Those guys were primarily doing, you know, hoppy beer. You know, with Other Half setting some of the trends that are now popular nationwide.
For sure.
Threes was doing some cool stuff with like Brettanomyces or some stuff
yeah,
with barrels.
Threes is really impressive.
Yeah.
Threes is awesome.
But like, you know, it wasn't like I went to any spot and could get like a dry hop sour.
Right.
And we're not kettle souring anything. I'm just giving you a nice acidic beer with some hop character to it. And it's like here, yeah. no one cares and everyone cares yeah. in a positive way. Like yeah. they're just coming in and it's like, oh, cool, it's a dry hop sour. Let's drink some. As opposed to like,
it's like, I've had well, 20 of these,
right.
so
yeah.
I'm super stoked to try yours.
Yeah, so we sort of felt like the stuff that we wanted to do would sort of be like
more aligned with the kind of
People would be more open to it. Sort of like the Colorado, your typical Colorado craft beer consumer, from what we've been able to tell before we were open and now that we're open, it's a person that generally has a relatively open mind. They want to go around. They want to try stuff. Sometimes it's to our detriment when they come in. They're like, we want a flight. And it's like, ooh, sorry.
Sure.
We don't do those. Dun, now, dun, dun.
Now, perfect segue into kind of the big controversial hot button issue. We posted our preview of Novel Strand back in July, as you mentioned. And one of the big...
I believe it was that I don't give a shit about Untappd and Instagram. I believe also, that's what it was. And also, I don't do flights.
I think the big hot button thing was the fact that you weren't into flights. So.
No, I'm still not.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more for those who didn't follow all the internet speak and all the chat room stuff. You know, like
anger translator.
Yeah, anger translator. Standing by. But tell us, you know, for those who may not have caught all of that, tell us a little bit about the philosophy of not wanting to offer flights here.
Yeah. I totally understand the fact that there's like 80 breweries in Denver, and sometimes on a Saturday you want to hit up 7 of them and you want to try every beer they got. I get it. I just don't care. The idea is that you go to
Chantel's
a brewery
face right now.
You go to a brewery and you have to give the brewery a chance to sort of show you what they've got. And that doesn't mean necessarily trying every beer. It means maybe talking to the bartender and be like, hey, I generally like to drink A, B, and C. Do you have something like that I might like here? And then the bartender can tell you, sure, we have that. Try this. Now, dude, I've had like a pint served to me of a beer that in the first few sips of the pint, even down to halfway through the pint, it's just not really jiving with me. But then some time has passed, the beer warms up a little bit, gets a little bit of air, and the second half of the pint, I'm actually into the beer. You would never get that in a 5-ounce experience, ever. It's just not going to happen. The other thing, and this is what got a lot of people's panties in a twist, is that I was saying that I don't like the idea of giving you 5 beers at once, because then you're going to basically drink each beer side by side. And in a place like us that does, you know, hoppy beer, sour beer, some stouts, a wee heavy that Sam's drinking, like stuff like that. Like, those beers don't necessarily mix together, man. Some hoppy beers don't even mix together.
Yeah.
Like, some hops can drown out your palate's ability to detect other hops. And so it was like, I don't want you to do that. I want you to actually come and taste each beer on its own, not mix all them. And then, you know, a lot of people were upset, like, I know how to drink beer. You don't have to tell me not to mix them. And it's like, cool, then I wasn't talking about you, dude. Then it's cool. Like, then I'm not talking. You're great. Then you're perfect. You still can't have a flight, but at least you get it. But like, the idea was, again, it was still like, you know, now, okay, dude, when I was like 16 and buying beer illegally in New York, because I had a beard and chest hair, Cantillon and all this stuff was on the shelf. This is years ago, okay? Yeah. So you go to Belgium, you go to Cantillon, Driefontein, and can you imagine the audacity of being like, all right, so I would like just like a little taster of this and splash of that. And I just, like, I know this bottle's like 6 years old, but like, I might not like it. So can you just give me a splash so I can just see if I like it? And, you know, that just doesn't happen. In a lot of other places, you go, you order a beer, you drink the beer. If you don't like it, find out what it is. Don't order that shit again. If you like it, notice what it is, order that again.
Yeah.
You sort of are kind of bumped into educating yourself about what you like and what you don't, which is what I kind of want to do. I don't want to just be like, here, yeah, sure, try all my beers and all that. Because it's like, you don't like all my beers, and that's fine. But you might like my hoppy beer. Or you hate hops, but you might like my wee heavy. Or you don't want malty, Scottish, smoky beer, whatever. You like sour stuff. Well, you might like my dry hop sour. But you definitely won't like the dry hop sour if you taste it after you tasted the wee heavy, after you drank the hoppy beer, after you drank the Saison. For sure, it's not going to taste good.
You know what I think is funny is that we've had like all sorts of different kind of two sides of the spectrum come into the tap room. We've had the people that are like, ask for flights. We don't do flights. And they're just kind of over it.
Okay,
like,
right.
They just don't care for it. And then there's people that, like, are open to the conversation. Like, well, maybe if you don't have a flight, like, I'll try a 10-ounce. Because we do have a 10-ounce pour, which is smaller. In general, you can still enjoy it. Like, get to, like, kind of experience that whole beer throughout that time and not have to be a whole pint.
Yeah.
But it kind of opens a conversation with our, you know, our staff folks, like, taproom manager, our beer tenders, to, like, so what do you like? What can we offer you? There's like so many different things that we do carry that like well, maybe just give it a chance. And then there's the other people that come in, and it's like, well, two tasters per person. So there's like, you know, four of them. They'll have everything that we have on tap, and you can still see them going one by one, mixing and matching. And it's like, at that point, you can't really do anything about it, right? We're just trying to kind of help in the experience and help you guys kind of understand and like really appreciate what we are putting out there. Because at the end of the day, for everybody, it is a craft. Like any kind of.
Amen.
I mean, and staff education is so key in a situation like that. And yeah, all you got to do is just coax them out of the box, out of the flight box. And then they're like, oh, okay, I guess I could commit to 10 ounces instead of five. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, you're paying $4 for a 10 ounce beer? Like, you're fine. You're going to be fine. Like, try it. And again, if you don't like it, then move on. Then you know that you don't like it. Yeah. It's fine. But you've learned in that moment why.
Yeah, right? I think you're spot on, Sammy. I mean, like, I think that it creates more of an opportunity for dialogue and community, and
absolutely,
like, kind of going back to that theme that we talked about earlier.
Community.
You know, it's an opportunity for
beer
people.
For the people.
Yeah, to think outside the box a little bit, and also interact with their, you know, interact with your staff, learn a little bit more about like why you all are approaching it this way, mm-hmm, learn a little bit more about the beer. It's great for education. It's, you know. I think it's a great natural organic way for people, mm-hmm, to break the norm of like, you know, this doesn't have to be the way that things are done.
Hear, hear.
Getting a flight from me is like if Mr. Editor Sam here just randomly cut up five segments of random shit that I've said in this talk and then looping it, right?
You have no idea, but that's actually what's happening.
Oh yeah, no, that's no,
but like Sammy's saying, like you're saying, like we're saying, is it's like if you step out of that order, like I try to order a minimum 10 ounces of a beer, you get to understand what the brewer's trying to do, at least for that beer, without actually having to hear him. Which in your case, for my beer, you're fortunate if you don't have to listen to me. But
we usually keep them out from behind the bar.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, it really, to me, it's when you got to let it wash your palate. The coffee guys make a joke because I say to them, like, you know, I would give them a beer to taste and they would take a sip and give it back. But like, oh, that's cool. And I'd be like, you didn't taste shit. You didn't do anything. You just, you let it touch your tongue and then put it away. Like, that's not how you taste it. Like, I'm like, take two, three sips. Yeah. And now one of the guys, like, always as a joke, takes this big sip, looks at me, and he's like, one, and two. You know, but you know, jokes aside, yeah.
It's true. The Lawfully rule. Do you remember way back when Lawfully was on, like, came out and everyone was like, sour beer, like, what the hell is this oat brew? Yeah. What is this? What is
one
this?
Sip, what is this? And it's like,
two sour. And I remember the first time I took that tour, they were like, take three sips of this.
Yeah,
beer.
Well, so, especially with the sours here, I say to people always, it's like, sip is just sour.
Yeah.
It's just acid on your tongue, and right, your tongue's supposed to let you know, again, it's evolutionarily, hey, there's some fucking acid right here. Watch out, dude. So, like, that's something that helped us survive at one point. But now it just lets us know when something might end, mm-hmm, up being delicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So take that first sip, cool, it's sour. Take another sip, okay, it's a little bit more flavor.
Right.
But a third or fourth sip, now your palate is basically ignoring the acid because it's acidic every time now.
Right.
And now you get into the flavor of the beer.
Totally.
Right, so like, you know, some of the most sought after beer in the world is like Belgian Goose, right, Lambic, right, stuff right, like that, right? Dude, the first sip you take of that stuff is always going to be like, what is this?
Yeah.
But then, you know, halfway through your bottle or your pour of it, you're like, there's so much going on right in this. I want to live in here forever and just right explore this beer forest of shit. But you can't do that if you're going to do a little taste. It's not going to work like that. So we just want you to slow your roll, man. We'll be here next month when you want to come back to try five more beers.
Right.
It's cool, dude. Like, slow your roll. We plan to be here for a bit. So it's like, come try one, two, three 10 ounces. Three 10 ounces is less than 2 pints.
Yeah.
Try three 10 ounces. And then it's cool, man. Go. Come back. We'll be here. Try more beer. We're making new beer all the time. You might miss out on some stuff, but I'll make it again.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're literally rotating recipes, like, every 2 weeks, every week, almost.
Yeah. Some stuff moves really quick.
Yeah.
Speaking of, tell us a little bit about the beer that we're drinking.
Well, at this point, dude, we're all drinking different stuff. But what I give you
well,
is this beer.
What is about to be released?
Well, yeah, we're releasing it tomorrow. It's a series of beer we're doing. We have a lot of hops from a lot of different places. I have a hoarding problem, and my cooler shows
kind of went on a shopping spree.
Yeah. I ran
not approved.
I ran up the credit card a little bit. And
it's
I'm going to do it again in a week. But we have a lot of hops, and a lot of the hops we have are from the Southern Hemisphere. And it's sort of like with you know, with like wine, when you take it out of Europe and grow it in the Southern Hemisphere, the terroir is just crazy. So the hops that you get from Australia, New Zealand, South Africa are all insane. So this is a beer series that's supposed to show what happens when you only use Southern Hemisphere hops. So the beer is called Down is on the Come Up. And this particular this particular batch is the first one. It's African Queen hops from South Africa, Waimea and Matueka hops from New Zealand, and then good old Galaxy from Australia.
Dig it.
And it's 7%. It's a fun beer. It's basically just fruit all the way, a lot of papaya, some apricot, not too much dankness, which I usually put in a lot of my beers, but not a lot of those Southern Hemisphere hops give you that weed character that I look for in a lot of stuff, so it doesn't happen in this beer.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, like you mentioned, it's
you don't have to say that.
It's very fruit forward. I mean, I get a little bit of melon in there as well. Like, I think that
white peachy.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's really well balanced, especially for being as big as 7%.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very approachable. Now, you all also have some really killer events coming up in the next month or so.
We think they're killer. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about both the coffee event and also the beer dinner that you all have lined up.
Well, the first event that we have is on December 7th. We're hosting a kind of an all-day party with our bunkmates, essentially, Queen City Collective. We'll have an Imperial Stout that we're releasing that is kind of infused with two different styles of coffee that they're having.
Natural processed Ethiopian coffee. What is that?
I think it was kind of a pretty sweet deal to try to showcase what both of us can do and like have our first like full-on collaboration between the two. I mean, we've been kind of sharing the space for like 4 or 5 months now. This will be like almost like our 6 month, kind of like our half birthday. I was the one that brought it up. I was like, come on, we got to do something. Like, it's half a year. We got to do it. So yeah, it'll be kind of fun. They're going to extend their hours. We're going to open a little bit earlier and then just, I have some live music going on in here, which I'm pretty excited about. And then just make it a party.
Yeah, we're awesome. We're probably going to end up doing it like a once a year thing with them. Where it's called the Coastal Get Down.
Nice. Really cool. And then you'll also have a beer dinner coming up December 17th, correct?
Yes, this is, I'm very excited for. I always, from when I got into beer, again, I got into it from that, you know, beer is for the people, beer comes with food, beer is an everyday sort of thing. And also, you know, when I would grow up in Israel, you know, my dad's dad would drink beer at dinner, stuff like that. So, you know, you see it, it's not like it's like taboo and blah, 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 and they'd let you taste it when you're a kid if you want it. It's not like you're not allowed to touch this stuff till you're 21. So it was like, beer and food just seems like such an awesome combo, and it's been demonstrated over and over that it is. So we want to get our hands in into that. So we're very fortunate, I feel, to host our close friends from Goodzur. You know, they do our charcuterie and cheese boxes that we offer in-house, which a lot of people love, and we're happy they enjoy that. So we're going to have Anthony and Rachel here to do whatever they want. So it's going to be five different beers and five different courses, and we're going to showcase a lot of different styles and techniques and flavors in both brewing and in cooking, which is something I'm really excited about, to see what me and Anthony can sort of pair together. You know, him and I have a very, I wouldn't even say very, but like a rough idea of kind of what we want to showcase with different beers. And we usually do one special beer for every dinner. So for this particular one, it's a phenomenal mixed fermentation saison inspired beer, which is called Ghost Stories. So it's my usual bacterial culture with some the Saccharomyces and Brettanomyces are isolated from Fantôme beer in Belgium, which is why we called it Ghost Stories, as a sort of an homage for that. So Fantôme makes some phenomenal mixed fermentation beers, and right now this just tastes like a super ripe apricot dipped in honey with this really nice acidity, and I just can drink a million of it. So I'm really excited to share it with people in December 17th. It's a cute little Monday afternoon. It's like 30 people only, so it's a really intimate event. I just can't wait to keep doing those. I feel like that's such a awesome thing to be able to share with people. It's like, you know, it's food, it's beer, it's 30 of us together hanging out, not worrying about anything other than what we're drinking and eating, and just enjoying an afternoon when, you know, the fucking world's so stressful right now. So something like that is like nuts.
Get a nice little break from it.
Just chill, you know?
Yeah, we won't be doing like online sales or anything like that. It'll be, you can grab the tickets or like either email us or like get a ticket like here at the tap room. And awesome. Again, it'll be kind of small, catered specifically to just have an intimate event with those that want to join.
And we go to Good Zoo all the time and eat. And, you know, we went, like you said before, the Shelton Brothers Festival. So they had that Dree Fontaine dinner, and we went to that, and just mind-blowingly good beer and mind-blowingly good food. So it's like, we want part of that. we want to play that game too. We want some good food also. So, you know,
cool.
So we're excited about that.
Really rad. Well, once again, folks, be sure to grab your tickets here in the tap room at Novel Strand, or shoot them an email or give them a call. They'll get you taken care of for the Good Zoo beer dinner on December 17th.
It's called A Moment in Time.
Nice. Fantastic. All right, we're going to take a short break real quick. We'll be back in just a moment with, we'll dive into some Anger Translator stuff, and we'll also touch on kind of a recap of some of the big beer events and news that have been happening over the past few weeks. Once again, you're listening to The Porchcast on PorchDrinking.com. Be sure to subscribe on all of your listening devices, iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Play, anything you are using to listen to us. Be sure to subscribe so that you can follow us for future episodes. Hang tight. We'll be back in just a moment. This is The Porchcast. Special thanks to First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, located at 1309 26th Street. They're your pour-your-own draft system beer bar with over 40 beers on tap. You can sample as much or as little as you'd like, kind of like the adult version of Froyo. Once again, that's First Draft Taproom and Kitchen, located at 1309 26th Street in Denver's Rhino Art District. We also want to take this opportunity to remind you about our friends at Made by Chalk. Chalk specializes in creating brand experiences for the craft brewing industry. From product packaging to websites, apps, and events, Chalk's services are tailored for independently owned craft breweries, maltsters, and industry-related consumer products. If you're looking for premium branding for your brewery or a new concept for your web design needs, visit madebychalk.com. Once again, that's madebychalk.com. Alrighty, folks, let's jump right back into it. Welcome back. This is The Porchcast, episode 56, I believe, right?
Yeah.
That's what when we started.
I'm just going to start making up numbers
number
each episode.
70.
Episode 109.
That's right, 109. There we are. No, welcome back to The Porchcast. We're once again here at Novel Strand Brewing with Tamir and Chantel, talking a little bit about their new brewery here in Denver. Once again, folks, for those of you who haven't had a chance to come out, be sure to check them out. They're located at 305 West 1st Avenue here in Denver, Colorado. Let's talk about the beer that we're drinking now. This is a Wee Heavy. Tamir, tell us a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. You are drinking a beer called Smooid, which in Scottish Gaelic, it means smoke or haze. Or I found out recently can also mean drunkenness, which is perfect. one of the few things that we do kind of traditionally is this beer, where I don't take too much liberty with, like, you know, what the flavor profile and the traditional techniques are. I did cheat a little bit. So it's a 7.5% Scottish wee heavy. It has a little bit of peat smoke malt, Golden Promise Scottish malt, a little bit of roasted barley, some honey malt, flaked oats, flaked barley. So there's a lot of, flavorful malt in there, and then a lot of, like, body-promoting malt to make it a really velvety, soft beer. It came out better than I could have hoped. It has these awesome fig and raisin flavors that I'm just in love with, of really subtle smokiness that doesn't get in the way. It's kind of like a light, really smooth scotch. So I'm really happy with it. And, it's a great winter beer. Come drink it.
I mean, that smokiness that you mentioned really is just like just the perfect kiss of it. Like, it's not overwhelming. I know, Sam, you were talking about there are a lot of beers out there that are just like too much peat, too much smokiness. This is just like the nice little accent on the actual beer itself.
Yeah, even some rock beers get a little over.
Yes.
I think it goes kind of along with our theme, right? We just want things to be drinkable, approachable.
Totally.
Accessible.
Yeah. It imparts that kind of unique flavor. Mm-hmm. That
making noise quietly. Yeah. Said.
Being loud in a quiet way. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's yelling at you, but softly.
Yeah. Keeping it cool.
Keeping it cool.
A couple of those, I'll do some yelling too.
Oh, yeah. You most certainly will do, yes. And you probably will sound like you're from Scotland after a few of those.
It's the perfect Thanksgiving beer with you and your family.
Especially if you've got that one Trump-loving uncle.
You got that uncle you want to yell at?
Speaking of Thanksgiving, do you all have any beer memories or beer traditions around Thanksgiving? Anything that you all kind of like must write for. I'll kind of lead it off.
I was gonna say, dude, you're talking to two foreigners. You're not gonna get much Thanksgiving from either of our families. So like,
for me, I don't know. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. Probably right up there with July 4th. It's become for me a tradition of, you know, an opportunity to gather community around. Absolutely. You know, share really good food with friends, but also in kind of that preparation stage. I don't know. It was around the time when I first started doing Friendsgiving dinners that I first had New Belgium's Frambozen. And so
yeah, man.
Every year around this time, I need kind of like a raspberry brown to just kind of set the mood.
Get your memory going.
Sam is like losing.
I am. That's so funny. When you say something like that, now I'm being throttled back and like a six pack of Frambozen and you're like, it is Thanksgiving time. And I even remember like introducing it to my brother. My dad hated it. But Peter was like, dang. I was like, yeah, Pete, like, dang. This is
the
this
truth,
is what,
bud. Yeah,
this is the truth. This is the truth. I was like, you trust me, man. Like, there's more out there that tastes like this.
And last year they did like an Imperial Frambozen, mm-hmm. which actually had cacao nibs, yep. I believe, oof. As well. And it was just like, it was perfect. I think they had bombers of it. But unfortunately, I feel like that beer comes and goes. I don't think it's back out in the market this year.
Yeah, but there are some. I think that like Tupelo maybe in that folly pack or something. Yeah. There are accumulation or something. Every now and again, they'll drop one that I'm like, oh, flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
Thanksgiving in general is just a great time to sort of share the beer that you love with your friends. Like you said, and so Friendsgiving things are really cool because, you know, in Colorado, a lot of people, especially at this point, you know, they're not from here. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's a bone for a lot of locals, but there's a lot of people that aren't from here, and you know, not everyone can go spend time with their families, and sort of having, like, again, brings us back to beer, this sort of communal, like, friends, neighbors getting together, you know, you see on the internet all these, like, teachers saying to their students if they're not around, like, you know, if you need a place, come hang out with us. So this is a great time to again, be able to share beer you love with people, which is what beer is about. It's about being able to, like, the fact that you're recalling these memories of beer that you had on the holidays, like, you know, maybe someone brought you that beer.
Yeah.
And so look at how that kicked this into it, that now years later you're talking about it because your homie or big brother or big sister or dad or grandpa or whoever brought a beer. Like, I got into beer because of my grandpa. So, like, Thanksgiving, you know, this Thanksgiving, you might give beer to somebody that in 5 years, they're like, you know, Tristan gave me this one beer on Thanksgiving, you know, and with the cranberry sauce and the sweet potatoes and the turkey. It was just this beer, like, made my night. Now I love it every Thanksgiving. So it's a really cool time.
Yeah, I mean, in general, I think it kind of, like, creates a memory. I think, like, one of the sweetest things that I love, too, about us getting into beer and, like, getting our families into beer, too. Like, you know, we're from the Caribbean. We don't necessarily drink, like, craft beer or whatever. It's all some sort of, like, the big beers, whatever. But in general, just kind of portraying that to our family, bringing it out and like sharing it with them. I like my dad now loves craft beer. Like every time we're doing something, he's like asking like, you know, what's new.
He, yeah,
like,
what did you do to this?
He saved me. He works in construction too. He saved me this can from like pre-prohibition like era.
Whoa.
That he found in like a building in New York. Like it was just kind of random. So cool. But
and
like,
he's a Dominican
now,
dude from you know from the island. Like,
but now he associates beer with us and like sharing time with us too. And it's just kind of special, like being able to like share that with them.
Share beer with your family.
Share beer with your family. I feel the exact same way. You know, 5 years ago when I got into this, my parents were like, "Wow, the only thing that you're contributing to this Thanksgiving is all of this beer that you're bringing." And now
and
I
now
do.
You're running. The entire meal.
I run most of the show, and I also I did all of the shopping today, which means that I have to remove all of the beer out of my fridge and put the food into the fridge, which allows me to then look at the bottles and be like, oh, I can bring some of these to dinner as well. And you know, my dad over the last 4 years has gotten into so many more styles, and I've watched his evolution. He'll write me text messages all the time, be like, man, have you tried freaking Le Cumbre Elevated? He's like, man, I have this new beer that comes in a 16-ounce can that I really like. I'm like, Dad, that's awesome.
That's so sweet.
That is so cool.
He's getting elevated on that elevator.
He's getting so elevated on that elevator.
That's awesome.
But yes, I mean, I feel the exact same way, that it's an opportunity to, you know, to not educate isn't the right word, but to just to include,
to share
and to include
is a great word.
To include, you know, your family into something that you feel so passionate yep. about. And you, I know that sometimes they look at me and they're like, you're crazy. Like, this is your job. Yeah. But then, you know, you get a moment at the table when you're like, everyone try this.
Yeah.
And they're like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, this is awesome.
And you'd be surprised how much it can impact some of the people in that table. That's,
100%.
That's the beauty of it.
I think that my dad's first sour beer experience, like past Frambozen, which it isn't, but was a couple of years ago when I brought a bottle of Transatlantic Creek. And I was like, Dad, just give me a second,
give me a chance,
okay?
Yeah.
Please, just trust me on this. Let it warm up a second and just give it a taste.
I mean, when we used to be like kind of long distance, he used to live in upstate New York. I still lived in the city. He would come down every once in a while on weekends. We would go out, and like part of it was always bringing a bottle back to the house.
Yeah.
Bringing something of wherever we went, just coming, something back home to share with my family, share with my dad, who really liked beer in general. So like it was kind of awesome to just share that special moment with them and like, you know, this is eventually going to be our industry. We didn't think about it that way back then.
Seriously,
but like,
yeah.
To actually like be able to like, hey, Dad, try this out. And like, he really got into it. Like,
yeah.
It was pretty sweet.
So she just flew to New York and brought back some beer that we made. So
yeah.
It was like, you know.
See,
he was very happy.
And
like,
that's the
he
shit.
Almost drank it all.
Like, that's
time.
So cool. You're like, you guys, this is our beer now.
So one of my, you know, this doesn't have to be, you can edit this out, but one of my favorite memories for me personally, not Thanksgiving related, but of beer is, you know, my both my grandfathers got me into beer. My dad's dad and my mom's dad. You know, my mom's dad, he's a Holocaust survivor from Poland. He would tell me about how, you know, he would see like hop fields as a kid, you know, off in the country, shit like that. And one time when I was still homebrewing, I have two pictures. My mom brought beer that I made. She smuggled it into Israel, you know, customs and all this shit. And I have a picture of both my grandpas drinking this homebrew that I made. And it's just like,
it's
that thing goes so much beyond flavor and blah, blah, blah. So it's like,
transcendent.
People, share some beer with your family
That's
Thanksgiving.
Incredible.
You
That's
would
incredible.
Be surprised at how much impact just a simple beer being shared with somebody might have on their life on a specific night in a specific circumstance.
I mean, alongside with that, too, I think it was last year, his mother surprised us with sending a drawing that his, again, 95-year-old grandfather made by hand of like a beer with a little barrel, grapes, and like the logo. Like, again, it's just like the sweetest thing. Like, she didn't tell us anything about it. She coordinated everything with his brother.
Yeah.
We went there, and like, you know, as hard as this guy seems, he literally almost broke down crying. Because it's just such a special moment. Like, they know everything that's kind of going on. And like, for him to be able to do that, draw that, and like have a little piece of him
in Denver.
Beer is for the people, man. It's for all of us to do stuff like that. That's why, you know, to go to the anger translator stuff. That's why, like, you know, we don't necessarily focus on the untapped, and we don't necessarily focus on the it's just like, yo, this stuff goes deep. This is part of our collective human consciousness and history.
It's beyond the surface.
Yeah, and when you just focus on good stuff and then sharing it with people, that's when you discover what beer is, man. It's what led to us being civilized. We wanted to hang out, and beer helped us relieve the tension between tribes. So it's like Thanksgiving, you got your uncle that's crazy, give him some beer, calm him down, be like, all right, dude, shut up, no one cares about your Trump love, like
nobody cares.
Well, on the, continuing on kind of the feel good kind of stories, you know, it's devastating what's happening out in California right now in terms of wildfire.
Devastating, man.
And it's really a shame, but Sierra Nevada, you know, being kind of the father,
the OGs
of the industry, has really started something really cool in their fire relief fund. They've kind of done this outreach to, you know, any brewery that wants to participate of saying, hey, we're going to share this recipe that is consistent throughout. We'd love for you all to brew it at your own locations. Same recipe, same raw ingredients, but 100% of the proceeds will go towards the campfire relief funds. And, you know, they seeded it with $100,000 in the fund, but they're really hoping, you know, for this national movement to generate even more to help those who lost their homes, to those who lost, you know, family and property and whatever.
Their life, man.
Yeah, their life. You know, it really is like a terrifying time, but it's really cool to see this national movement taking place from someone who was, you know, a brewery that was affected by it so much.
And, you know, talk about community, man. I mean, if this,
people, man.
Beers, and like, if this happened anywhere and somebody organized something like this, everyone else would be right there. The fact that it has gained so much traction, even in the last, 48 hours, is not very surprising, but is just very heartwarming. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-freaking-brainer, considering everything that's going on in California right now and that devastation, and that it's so close. I mean, so close to Sierra Nevada. So, I mean, that there are so many people that are being affected. It's like, what? You know, everyone has a little bit to throw in, and I commend, you know, the Grossmans and Sierra Nevada, and it's like, yeah, it's the least that anybody could do.
Well, we got some Denver
breweries
that are now throwing their hat into the mix and saying that they're going to do that. I believe I'm going to look up this Google Doc document and get our hat in the mix. I mean, we've all seen some of the videos, you know, people driving through the fires. We've seen the news stories about it. This is really a time for, I think, you know, if Sierra Nevada is taking this initiative and inviting other people in the industry to be part of it, then this is our time for all of us to sort of do it and show. This is a beautiful time for the beer industry to show unity in a country that is experiencing issues, and to show a sort of like united front to support just your fellow man, which is a beautiful gesture, especially after such a tragedy.
Yeah.
Hear, hear.
So that's a great thing that's happening, you know?
And that's really what this industry was founded upon.
Exactly, dude.
100%.
The American beer industry is so, there's so much camaraderie and there's so much warmth towards each other. It's actually insane when you think about it.
It's
almost
universal.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah. That it's just like all these businesses that are technically in the purest sense competing are also just constantly supporting and helping each other. That doesn't exist in any other industry. So I think, again, like you're saying, this is sort of as a, if you're patrons, if you're brewers, if you're whatever, if you're in the industry, you know, this is sort of the time to put our money where our mouth is and sort of help and support, because I mean, imagine that happened here in Colorado.
I mean
how
God
devastating
forbid, you know?
That could be. And it's not like it's impossible that it would happen here. So I mean, I saw today, some brewery signing up. I didn't even know this thing was happening, but now that I know, I mean, that the only logical thing to do is to throw my hat in the mix and whatever modest amount of money we can get from the batch to send to that, because I would hate to have that happen to my community and to my people here. So
totally.
You know, golden rule.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I want to end it on this. Sammy, tell us a little bit about how your weekend went with the anniversary.
Was packed.
It was packed.
Yeah.
Well, the.
Did you all drop a bottle of Hear Me Monsters
off the roof? Well, everyone cried watching. Yes.
For those people that stood in line, we're like, no.
For those who aren't avid listeners of the Porchcast, when we first interviewed Sammy last year, we were talking about the egg drop that they do every Sunday, which is like, you know, you have an egg, you have to
like
create a vessel to protect it. They drop it from the roof, and those whose eggs do not crack.
Yeah, we call them good eggs and bad eggs.
Yeah.
The bad eggs break. The good eggs don't break.
But what I've been pushing for
that the bad ones are the ones that don't break.
What I've been pushing for is for folks, for them to actually do a Hear Be Monsters drop where the beer nerds
have to
save the beer.
Have to save the beer from breaking, and really ups the ante on the level of protection and ingenuity.
This is not.
You would have waited overnight for this beer. Yeah. Save it now before it dies.
This is not outside of the realm of reality.
You can keep this bottle,
but you have to save it. But first, we got to drop it off the roof.
You got to drop it through the roof through a flaming hoop and like.
No, but honestly, I do want to say the bearded guard that you all released. Remind me the name.
Trembling Giant.
Oh, incredible!
It's
so good.
Fire! It is
another good beer from Cerebral. No way.
Don't look at me. I have nothing to do with it. Sean, Patrick, Alex are the bosses in the back. They just keep coming out with these freaking fire releases. And we were there were a few of us on Team Beardegard that were like, oh yeah, hell yeah, barrel aged Beardegard, like this is the type of beer that I want to drink, like I can play. And it has been well received the way that we kind of thought that it would. And that was we released that on Saturday in addition to Boss Fight, which was our collaboration with Jay Wakefield. Just a big fat pastry stout, 13.5% marshmallow, cacao, cassia, vanilla.
We'll take it.
Vanilla.
Yeah, I think it's vanilla.
But honestly, like I was probably the most stoked just because of your all's history in terms of churning out these incredible stouts. But it took 1 ounce of tasting this Beardegard, and I was just like,
"You got a second bottle."
Yeah, I got. I literally it convinced me to buy a second bottle, and I was just like, "Holy shit, I need to get more of this."
Oh yeah, I saw you on Saturday, and it was already game on. I was like, "Yes, you will take the second bottle."
You did trick me into drinking some Ancient Ruins Rocky.
You will take this bottle more too.
When I get into party mode like that, when it's time to like really really celebrate, you're gonna say yes all the time. There are no no's when I'm putting beer in your face. But yeah, I am overjoyed and thrilled and very proud of all of the work that everybody's put into Cerebral over the last 3 years. And I am personally very proud that I, you know, have been there for 2.5 years of it. We had a kick-ass freaking weekend. We dropped eggs and not bottles off the roof on Sunday.
Next year. Never forget.
It's going to be bottles. If Kaylin ever listens to this, Kaylin, I think we should do Monsters bottles. Kaylin, I'll tell you.
I just want to see some beer nerds cry.
Yeah, That was Tristan, not me. Yes. The tears of the beer nerds. But yeah, it was great. And so here's to another 300 years of Cerebral.
I was going to say, at least more than three.
Yeah, that's why I said 300.
All right, guys. Tamir, Chantel, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you guys.
Thanks for coming
on.
Taking us into your brewery. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, this was fantastic.
For those of you all,
Tuesdays are really slow, so we felt it was a good day for you to come.
They're closed.
So, yeah, it's not really, there's no one here, so I figured it's a good time to talk.
Absolutely. No, but for those of you all who are coming into Denver for the weekend for the holidays, or if you're just around, have an experience Novel Strand, be sure to drop in. They're doing some phenomenal stuff here.
Dude, hold on, man. You can live in Denver and come see us, too. You don't have to be visiting from outside of Denver. You can just live in Denver and come visit.
It's framing it for those who are in town. You know. No, but seriously, kudos to you all.
Thank you.
We're really huge fans of Ural's beer, and look forward to seeing more down the road.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming out.
Once again, this has been episode 56 of the Porchcast. Be sure to follow us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Apple Play, whatever listening device that you're listening to. We'll be back in hopefully less time next.
Sure hope so.
For the next episode.
What's the plan?
Hunter's
going to be busy. You even forgot about Hunter.
I know. We haven't even spoken
his name.
Wow.
Voldemort.
Wow! Did you just label Hunter as Voldemort?
I certainly did. They mentioned this earlier.
He who shall not be named.
He shall not be named. All right. Well, once again,
he's gonna kill me.
This is episode 56 of the Porchcast. Check you later.
Bye.
Don't forget. Tell your dog. Tell your friend. Tell your mom. Tell your dad. Tell your pet rock. Porch drinking.
I like what you're listening to. Be sure to follow the Porchcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and whatever listening devices you may follow. You can also follow Porch Drinking on Twitter and Instagram at @porchdrinkingco.